This is our last message in the series that we've been doing on the end times, as far as I know. And we've been dealing with the millennial reign of Christ. We started way back talking about things that are going on in the world today and signs that the Bible said would take place in the last days. And we've seen a lot of that happening. And we've been going through the different things. We went on through the rapture period. And now we're going to look at we've been for the past two Sundays looking at what the millennial reign holds. And today we're going to look at some of the changes that are going to take place in society and in the world as we know it. I believe that Jesus is coming very soon. I know we all believe that. And we're to the place where signs that have been mentioned, and we've heard them over and over and over, but it seems like there's the intensity is intensified, and more and more and more constantly we see these things taking place. So anyway, we're going to look at some of the different things here today in the message that we have here today. And we're looking at the end times. We're just going to recap a few things we touched on last week. We talked about this tribulation period taking place right here, the seven-year tribulation period. This is obviously not the scale. But right here, what we're talking about now is this millennial reign of Christ. And this is for 1,000 years right here. And we're going to look at some of the different things that are going to take place in that time period. And we've looked at some of the different things that are going to take place already. Well, let's go on. We'll look at a few things here, because if I get into it, we've preached the same message over again. Going back to what we started out with, the kingdom of God on earth was promised to the patriarchs, as Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all these fellows. It was foretold by the prophets. It was announced by John the Baptist. It was instituted by Jesus, and I pushed the button and it's gone. And anyway, we're experiencing it today in the body of Christ. It's going to be I don't know where to use it now, but anyway, in the millennial period is going to be, you know, demonstrated. That's what I'm going to say. And then it's going to be in its fullness in the new heavens and new earth when Jesus sits up in the eternal kingdom. We talked about Revelation chapter 20. And in Revelation chapter 20, we went down through different things there. Satan is bound for 1,000 years. That's why there's such peace and tranquility on the earth at that time. Even though when we say 1,000 years of peace, it is going to be 1,000 years of peace in regards to the nations, but there's still going to be a lot of stuff that's got to be corrected. And the Bible says that Jesus is going to rule with a rod of iron. And he mentions, you know, if this doesn't happen, this is going to happen. You know, if they don't, the people don't do this, this is going to be the consequence. So there's going to be some different things going on there in the millennial reign. And remember, the Bible says he must reign till he puts all enemies under his feet. And in that 1,000-year period is where he's putting those enemies under his feet. So anyway, we have the first resurrection completed, which is the rapture of the church and all the resurrections of the saints and different things in two or three different stages there. Satan is loosed at the end of 1,000 years for a season, the Bible says. Then there's a final rebellion. He goes out and he tempts the nations again. And they all come back and try to once again to overthrow God's kingdom and take over Jerusalem again. And God's not going to allow it. And we have the doom of Satan. The Bible says Satan is cast into the lake of fire, where the false prophet is already at, the beast is already there. Then we have the great white throne judgment. This is a judgment for sinners. And that's going to take place there. And then we have the second death. This is where the Bible says death and hell is cast into the lake of fire. This is where death is destroyed. Death itself, the spirit of death and everything of death is involved in death, is cast into the lake of fire. It's gone forever. That's when he destroys death forever. And then he can set up his eternal kingdom, because the last enemy that shall be destroyed is what? Death, right? And when he destroys that enemy, then he sets up the everlasting kingdom. Now, these are some of the things that we talked about a couple weeks ago. We touch on this each time because this is so very important in this message about the millennial reign. These are human governments from Babylon, from Daniel's day, Nebuchadnezzar, right on down through to what we have today, the revised Roman Empire beginning up, starting up again in Europe and different things. And then Daniel was saying to King Nebuchadnezzar, he said, "You saw that a stone was cut out without hands, smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and break them to pieces." Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold, the broken in pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled all the earth. Now, we talked about last week, who's the stone? Well, we found that was Jesus. We look at a lot of scriptures. Jesus is the stone that the builders rejected. Then we said, what is the event? The event is when Jesus comes to set up his kingdom on the earth and deal with sin and different things. What's going to happen, or when will it happen, rather? We talk about in the last days, and in that day, oh, remember in Zechariah especially. Where will a stone strike the image in its feet? Right at the last part of the human government. It started with the head, and it came right down to the last part of the human government. And why will this happen? Because God declared it was going to happen, and because man's lease on the earth, so to speak, is running out. And the Bible says, the government shall be upon his shoulder. Jesus is going to rule the earth. How is it going to happen? We talk about it, the zeal of the Lord of hosts. He will perform this. God's desire to have this done is going to bring this to pass. No matter how much governments try to stop it, and kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall, God's kingdom is going to be set up, and because he declared it to be so. And we talked about last week how Jesus, the Bible says, he came into the clouds of heaven, and he brought him before God the Father, and he gave him the keys of the kingdom, of this new kingdom. Now, today we're looking at still part 12, but I could go on to part 15, I guess, or 16, or whatever. Isaiah 65, verse 17 to 25. Just turn there for a minute. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17 to 25. You find that a lot of these Old Testament prophets prophesied the coming kingdom, prophesied what was going to take place in the kingdom that when the Messiah sets up his kingdom. Now, you got to understand that when Jesus came on the earth, which was 700 years after Isaiah prophesied this, the Jews thought that he was coming to set up this kingdom at that time. And that's why the Bible says he came to his own, but his own didn't recognize him. They didn't recognize Jesus because Jesus came in, you know, born in a stable. They figured if he's going to be a king, man, he's going to be a military officer. He's going to have power. He's going to, you know, all these different things. They didn't reckon with the power of the Holy Spirit that he's going to minister in. They didn't understand. Remember over and over, and we've mentioned this a number of times, they kept saying to him, are you going to set up the kingdom? Are you going to set up the kingdom? And after he was resurrected, they said, well, you now set up the kingdom. And Jesus finally said to him, listen, he said, that's in the Father's hands. You just go on and live your life and leave things in God's hands, and God's going to work it out. So anyway, they look for that, and we're looking for that kingdom when Jesus came. And this is why they rejected him, because Jesus never came to set up the kingdom at that time. Now, let's look at this. Isaiah, chapter 65, verse 17. For behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that has not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. And they shall not build and another inhabit, and they shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the bullock. And the dust shall be the serpent's meat. And they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. And these are just some of the things that are going to take place in the millennial reign. He tells us some of the peaceful things, changes are going to take place. But let's look at a few things here this morning. And before we get into this, I just want to touch on this. We're going to look at another prophecy that Daniel gave. But before we go any further, let's bow together and ask God's blessing as we look into the Word. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for all you've shown us, Lord, in the past few months, Lord, concerning things that are going to take place in the last days. Father, we are so thankful that you've got everything under control. Father, when we look at the world today and we look at all the chaos that's going on, Father, if we didn't know the other side of the story, Father, it would be a time of fear and turmoil. But Father, we can have peace in the midst of the storm. So Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we ask as we look into the Word once again, that you would enlighten our understanding. Help us, Lord, to find something in this that we can live by, some hope that we can take, Lord, and live by faith. And Father, just direct us, we pray. May the Holy Spirit just minister to each heart that's here. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Daniel prophesied. Actually, Gabriel came to him. Daniel was fasting and praying and trying to seek God's face for concerning some scriptures that he read. And Gabriel, the angel, came to him. And Gabriel was a messenger angel. You know that. Every time Gabriel came, he came with a message. He came with a message to Mary. He came, you know, different things like this. But Gabriel came with a message, and he said to Daniel, he said, 70 weeks are determined upon your people and upon the holy city, and this is Jerusalem, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins. Well, we know that's not happened yet, because sin is certainly not ended. To make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness. Well, that's not brought in yet. And to seal up the vision and the prophecy. In other words, to wrap it all up. And that's not happened yet. And then he says, and to anoint the most holy, which is Jesus. The most holy will be anointed at the end of the 70th week. After 70 weeks are done. 69 weeks are already passed. We're living now in a gap between the 69th week and the 70th week, which is the church age. The tribulation brings in the 70th week. At the end of the 70th week is when the most holy is going to be anointed. Jesus is going to be set up as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, that was just something there for you to look at. We look at this scripture before, but this is just a couple of scriptures I want us to, so we get all put in perspective how this is going to come together. Jesus, the Bible says, is going to come with the clouds of heaven, and he comes and his feet steps upon the Mount of Olives. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west. And there shall be a great valley, and half of the mountain shall be removed toward the north, and half of it towards the south. Then there's another scripture. Behold, he comes with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. Now, this is not the rapture of the church. This is the second coming when Jesus comes back. When he comes the first time, only the church is going to know it. Only the church is going to see him. But when he comes back the second time, when he comes back at the end of the tribulation period, which is the literal second coming, when he comes back at the end of the tribulation period, every eye will see him. And all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, this is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And this is where he's going to judge the nations for the way they treated Israel. This is why we keep saying it's important for nations to treat Israel correctly. And he shall sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them from one another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he shall sit the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. And then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now, you understand this. This kingdom of God is coming. We're living in part of it now. We're living in a spiritual sense. We're experiencing it in our lives. The kingdom is within us. But the day is coming when that kingdom is literally going to be set up here on this earth. Okay? And, well, we get in a little bit further, all the things. But you got to understand that this was God's purpose and God's plan when he created Adam in the Garden of Eden. This is God's plan for the world. Although God knew what was going to happen. But God's desire was that the world would live in peace and prosperity and blessings. None of this sickness and disease and death and all the different things that we see today and the curse and all that. None of that. But we see that the Bible says from the foundation of the world, this is the way God planned it to happen. That this kingdom would be set up from the very foundation of the world. So he said, come ye blessed of the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then he shall say unto them on the left, these are the nations that were unrighteous, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Okay, let's start up and look at some of the different things that are going to take place today. These are going to be changes that are going to take place in the new world, if you want to look at it that way, in the millennial reign. Some of the changes that are going to take place. There's going to be changes in the political realm. Jesus will be king over all the earth. Now, I'm just going to read down through these scriptures, and I copied them off here because if we had to look through every passage in scripture, I'd take a long time to look them up and everything else. So I got them all here, but you can jot down and read them for yourself. But notice what he says here. Jesus is going to be king over all the earth. Notice what it says. Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 down to 16. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he does judge and make war. Remember Daniel said, he said, unto righteousness is set up. Jesus comes to set up righteousness. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Well, we know who that is. The armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean as the church. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, the word of God, that he should smite the nations, and shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. Now Jesus is coming back, as we talked about last Sunday. He came the first time as a gentle Jesus, meek and mild. But when he comes back the second time, you don't want to cross paths with him on the wrong side of the equation. He's coming back as judge, and he's coming back, the Bible says, in fierce anger to judge sin forever and deal with those nations and people that have rebelled against him. He's coming to tread the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is when Jesus comes back to take over the earth. I said last week, we believe in a one world government. Not the one the Antichrist is going to set up, but the one the true Christ is going to set up. We believe in a one-world government. Isaiah prophesied it this way, 700 years before Jesus even came to the earth. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So Jesus is going to be set up as king over all the earth. There's other scriptures, obviously. We don't have time to get into all of them this morning. This next one, you're going to look at me and say, well, I don't know about that. And not next one, next one after. Let's go to this. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. And in his days shall the righteous flourish, and abundance of peace, so long as the moon endures. Well, you know he's not talking about anyone else except Jesus. And he shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. That's written on our parliament building in Ottawa. He shall have dominion. And I've told you the story before, how Canada became a dominion. I forget the guy's name. His first name, I think, was Samuel. Back in 1867, when they decided to bring Canada together as a government, he was the premier of Nova Scotia, or of New Brunswick, and he was having his morning devotions. You see, Canada was set up by people that had some Christian values. He was having his morning devotions in his room that morning before he came out to the meeting of all the ministers that were met together. And they were trying to figure out, what are we going to call it? We're going to call it a country? We're going to call it a nation? We're going to call it, you know, a colony of England? What are we going to call this thing, this Canada? And he came out of the room and he said, gentlemen, he said, I believe, he said, God has showed me what we should call our country. And he got this verse out and he read to him. He said, I was reading this morning. He shall have dominion from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. He said, let's call it the Dominion of Canada. And all those that were there all agreed with it. And that's why up until, well, I can remember, and it wasn't all that long ago, it used to be called Dominion Day. Now it's called Canada Day. It used to be called Dominion Day. It was the Dominion of Canada. But anyway, this is where the verse came from. But Jesus is going to have dominion from sea to sea, from rivers, even unto the ends of the earth. And they that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. Sounds like one of the songs, doesn't it? The kings of Tarshish and the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. He's going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords here on the earth. This is the one I said that you might balk at, but that's okay. David will be king over Israel. Some people believe that's going to happen. Some people, I'm not being dogmatic one way or the other, but some people believe it's going to happen. Some people believe it refers to Jesus. Jesus is going to be king over all the earth. But it's quite possible that David himself is going to be king over Israel. Notice what Ezekiel had to say. Ezekiel chapter 34. He said, "And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them and shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall have one shepherd, and they shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob, my servant, wherein ye fathers have dwelt. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever." Now, some people believe that refers to Jesus, who was the son of David. That's quite possible. And I'm not being dogmatic, but I'm just saying it's quite possible that David himself, a lot of theologians believe that David himself is going to be over the nation of Israel. Jesus is going to be over all the world, but David will be over Israel. Okay. Jerusalem is going to be the capital of the world. And it shall come to pass in that day, in the last days, that the mountains of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains. And he shall be exalted above the hills, and nations shall flow into it. And you can look at other scriptures. But Jerusalem is going to be the capital of the hill. The Bible says God is going to set up his throne in Jerusalem. Nations that right now are fighting against Israel and all these different things, they're going to have to come. And the Bible says learn the law of God in Israel. And so we see all these different things. The disciples are going to be over the 12 tribes of Israel. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 28. Well, I got one more verse that I lift out here for the other one, but Jerusalem. "And many shall people shall go and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of Jacob, the God of Jacob. And he will teach us all his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law." Zion is another name for Jerusalem. "Out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." That verse is on United Nations building in New York City. That verse there, nation would not learn war anymore. They would beat their swords into plowshares and all these different things. But the 12 disciples are going to rule over the 12 tribes of Israel. Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me," because Peter came up and said, "Lord," he said, "we give up everything and we start following you. What's in it for us?" Jesus said, "I'm telling you," he said, "in the regeneration, when all things are made new," he said, "in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Talking to the disciples there. The saints will reign all through the earth. I mentioned this last week. When Jesus comes back, there's going to be a lot of things that are going to take place in the world. A lot of destruction is going to take place through the tribulation period, all these different things. In the millennial reign, all that is going to be rebuilt again. And there's going to be natural people living on the earth at that time. Okay? Now, those that are born again, those that are saved and goes up in the rapture and comes out in the tribulation period, whatever the case might be, those that are saved, we're going to have glorified bodies. We're going to rule over the nations. We're going to rule. Now, obviously, not every one of us is going to be a king or whatever over an entire nation. But a lot of people believe it's going to be like back. Remember back this is the thing with technology. Anyway, that's the next one we're coming up to anyway. But when we look at the things that are going on, back in the Old Testament, God had set up, Moses set it up this way, that there'd be rulers over tens, over fifties, over hundreds, over thousands. So a lot of theologians believe that Christians are going to be part of that governmental system, that we're going to be ruling over groups of people. And the Word of God tells us, Paul told us, and everything else, it depends on our faithfulness now, what kind of reward we're going to have in the next life. So learn to be good at what you're doing now, because God is going to use you for all eternity in these things. Now, so that was, let me go back there. Talking about the saints ruling in the world. "I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, that did not worship the beast, neither his image, neither received a mark from their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. We're going to reign with him 1,000 years. Daniel 7:18. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever and ever. Now, there's going to be changes in the geographic realm. The way the earth is laid out is going to be changed. I don't know how to get into all these different things. I'm afraid to touch anything now. I'll just go down through them anyway. There's going to be a great earthquake. The Bible tells us in Revelation. I'm not going to be able to read all these scriptures. It'll take too long. The Bible tells us there's going to be a great earthquake such as the world's never seen before. The Bible says the Mount of Olives is going to split. We just read that in Zechariah when Jesus steps upon the Mount of Olives. The mountain is going to split in two, and half goes towards the east and the west. And then it says the Dead Sea waters will be healed. There's going to be a fountain that comes out there and goes down. The Bible says flows into the Dead Sea, which is the salt sea, and brings life to that. Ezekiel tells us wherever that river flows is going to bring life. And you can jot down those scriptures for yourself and read, you know, when you get home. The mountains and the valleys. The Bible says every mountain will be made low and the valleys will be exalted. You ever stop and realize what that's going to look like? The mountains are brought down, the valleys are brought up, everything is level. Saskatchewan, all over the earth. And then it says the islands of the sea will disappear in Revelation earlier in the tribulation period. The islands of the sea are going to be gone. That's why we left Newfoundland. Joke. But anyway, there's going to be changes in the geography of the earth. The way things are laid out on the earth is going to look totally different than the way we see it right now. Now, I was reading something a week, and I never had a chance to really get into it a whole lot. But they're talking about in Jerusalem, right now they said Mount Hermon, in Israel rather, in the nation of Israel, Mount Hermon, they said is the highest mountain. I think it's 10,000 feet above sea level. That's the highest mountain in Israel. But when the mountains come down, the valleys are exalted. But the Bible says that the hill of the Lord will be exalted, and everyone will go up. So a lot of people believe that Mount Zion, Mount Moriah, whatever you want to call it, they're in Jerusalem where the Temple Mount is at, where Jesus is going to set up his kingdom. When everything is all rearranged, that's going to be the highest mountain, they said, in Israel, and probably in the entire earth. That's going to be the highest mountain. I don't know, but a lot of people believe that. But anyway, so there's going to be changes in geography. What did I do here? Go back to it again? No. There's going to be changes in the economic realm. The economy is going to change. Blessings are going to be based upon the way the nations worship. Now, we don't have time to get into all this, but I'll just give you one scripture for it here in Zechariah. The Word of God says that God is going to pour his blessing on all the earth, and rain will come in its due season. He said, but if a nation won't come up to Jerusalem to worship every year they're going to have to come up, the Bible says, and celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem. Every year, if the nations of the earth don't come up to worship God, he said, if Egypt won't come up, he said, there'll be no rain upon Egypt. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. He's going to bring this thing together and make it work right. And the prosperity of the nation is going to be based upon the way that it honors God and respects Israel and the kingdom of God. Every family, the Bible tells us in Micah chapter 4, he said, everyone will plant their own crops and their own lands and everything else. And he said, you won't plant it and someone else eat it. He said, everyone will be under their own fig tree and vines and all these different things. Everyone is going to have their own property. So this is the way that the economy is going to be set up in that day. It's the ideal way that every country communism figured they were going to do it, but it never worked out. There's going to be changes in the spiritual realm, the way things are done spiritually. The temple is going to be in Jerusalem. Now, we don't have time to get into this, but if you read Ezekiel chapter 40 up to 42 anyway, you'll find out that the temple is going to be built in Jerusalem. And actually, that's a wrong reference there. It should be chapter 40 to 42. I don't know where I got that 39. I was looking at it this morning, and I thought, that's not right. But anyway, the temple is going to be rebuilt in Jerusalem. This is why right now, when you hear people talking about the Jewish people are getting ready to build their temple again, they've got a lot of the materials all gathered together. They're just waiting for the government to give the go-ahead to do these things. They've got the instruments made for worshiping God inside the temple. All these different things. They're training their priests. I was reading a couple of years ago, 3 or 4 years ago now, we mentioned this here one time, read an article that there are some children, boys, that came from the tribe of Levi. The Jews still know what tribe they're from. They came from the tribe of Levi, which was the priestly tribe of Israel. And they're training these children. They're going back to the Old Testament scriptures and training these children to worship God under the old system like they did back under Moses and David and all these different people. And he said, the children, as of now, they said, have never touched the earth. They've kept them inside places and everything else. They've never touched the ground to be contaminated. This is how the Jewish people look at, you know, trying to keep themselves holy. They've not touched the ground, and these children are being trained that when the system is set up, when the temple is set up, they'll already be prepared to offer these sacrifices and all the different things that the Jews always did. But anyway, the temple is going to be in Jerusalem. And the Bible says all the world is going to come up to Jerusalem to worship God once a year. Ezekiel's vision of the millennial temple came to him after he had been in captivity for 25 years in Babylon. In his vision, he is transported to Jerusalem where he sees a new temple in the future. And this is what Ezekiel talks about. And I just jot down, the world's nation, the nation of the world, will flow onto the holy mountain where this temple is located in the height of Israel. Ezekiel chapter 40 to 42, the temple is described. In chapters 43 to 46, the worship system is described that Ezekiel saw was going to take place in the last days. And in chapter 47 to 48, the land is described. We don't have time, obviously, to read all those chapters, but if you can look those up for yourself and look at these different things. So there's going to be changes in the spiritual realm, the way worship is done. Jesus himself, the Bible says, is going to appear to Israel. And the Bible says, once you say unto him, what are those wounds in your hands? The Jews are, you see, he came to his own the first time. They didn't recognize who he was. But when he comes back the second time, they're going to look at him and say, where do you get those wounds? They didn't understand that Jesus was the Messiah. Where do you get those wounds in your hands? And then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. And I will pour upon the house of David, which is Israel, and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and of supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son. And they and shall be in bitterness for him, as one is in bitterness for his firstborn. Israel is going to recognize who Jesus is. There, I get the right reference there. Ezekiel chapter 40 to 42. The temple is going to be in Jerusalem. Everything in Jerusalem is going to be considered holy. Now, you can read this. We don't have time to get into it. The Bible says the bells on the horses. They're going to have, you know, bells on the horses. And the Bible says they'll be inscribed with holiness to the Lord. There's going to be a highway called the Highway of Holiness. The Bible says every pot and every vessel in Jerusalem, every pots and pans, is going to have holiness to the Lord written on it. It's going to be a totally different atmosphere than what we've grown up with. All nations will come to Jerusalem to worship. We talked about this already. There's going to be changes in the ecological realm, the way things grow and the way things take place and all these different things. The curse is going to be lifted. Man, if you're gardening or looking after your lawn, you should be shouting by now. Weeds are gone forever. Romans chapter 8. I got these verses up here. You can just look at these. But notice what's going on here. This is Paul writing to the church of Rome, and he's talking about different things. Paul says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, this is the age that we're living in now, are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Okay, what we're going through now is nothing compared to what we're, you know, it can't even compare to the glory. You know, it's from one extreme to the other. The glory is going to be revealed in us in that day. For the earnest expectation of the creature, now you got to understand, just look at me for a minute before you read any further. When Jesus sets up his kingdom, we just talked about it. We're going to be ruling all over the earth. We're the sons of God, daughters of God, children of God, whatever you want to call it. We're going to be ruling over all the earth. And he said, creation is longing for the day when the sons of God are revealed. When God's kingdom is set up and his rulership is set up all over the earth, the creation is longing for it. This is what he's saying here. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, there's all kinds of groups out there that believes that they are the sons of God, and, you know, no, that's not what he's saying. But notice here in the picture, they're taking stuff out of the ground, but there's nothing growing. But that curse is going to be lifted. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. In other words, when Adam sinned, you know the story, there was curses put upon him. God said to Adam, he said, Adam, the ground is going to be cursed. From now on, he said, you're going to toil. He said, with the sweat of your brow, he said, you'll eat your bread. You'll make your living. And we've all been through that. We're living in that society today. We're living in a society where, you know, you go out and things that you do, you think that it's going to bring back a good yield, but a lot of times it's not. You know, you make an investment and it falls through. You do this and, you know, it all collapses. We're living in a society that's got a curse in it. Now there is some hope for Christians and things like this, but generally speaking, that curse is on the earth. It's not lifted yet. And he said, God did that, but he did it in hope that something better was coming than the future. Now, let's go on. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. The creature itself, earth itself, and even the animal kingdom and everything else is going to be changed. Earth itself is going to be changed, and he said, change from the corruption that it's in now. Everything now is corruption and problems and whatever, the curse. He said, it's going to be changed into the glorious liberty of the children of God, when the children of God are ruling the earth. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. The earth is groaning and travailing. The earthquakes and all these different things are just signs of this curse that's on the earth. All these things are taking place. Because when Jesus sets up his kingdom, there's no more earthquakes. There's no more problems like that. Okay? So the earth right now, with the curse that's on it, the earth is still going through all these different things. Groans and travails in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also. We which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, or that is, the redemption of our bodies. We're waiting till this thing is wrapped up. Even though we're saved, we're still living in human bodies. The Bible says the outward man is perishing day by day. Every day, the outward man is perishing. There used to be hair up here one night. Perishing. But we're longing for the day when we don't have to use any more color. And we don't have to go through all these different things. We're longing for the day when our bodies are redeemed. That's what creation is for. Or is longing for. Is waiting, longing for that day when the sons of God are manifest and God's kingdom is set up. We're longing for that day when the curse is gone forever. In the millennial, the curse is going to be lifted. Israel, the Bible says the nation of Israel is going to bloom like it was in the Garden of Eden. Right now, we got a friend of ours, I mentioned this before, we got a friend of ours that is with the Canadian military, and sometimes they're overdoing peace treaty between Syria and Egypt, Syria and Israel a few years ago. And he said, they would, on their days after, we'd go into Israel and look around. And he said, you'd be going down the street, he said, on one side of the road, he said, man, he said, you think you're back there in Canada or United States, and everything is blossoming, he said, rich and everything else. He said, you look over on the other side of the road, he said, everything is dust, he said, like it was a war there. You know, and the Bible tells us that Israel is going to be like the Garden of Eden. The desert will bloom like a rose. Things are going to come back to life again. Matter of fact, they said, even when Israel went back, when the Jewish people went back to Israel, lands that were barren and dusty and nothing growing up, all of a sudden started to produce again because the inhabitants came back that God had laid the blessing on. So we see all these things are going to place. The Dead Sea waters, I mentioned this, are going to be healed. The Dead Sea waters are going to be healed. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 8. There's going to be changes in the animal kingdom. Oh, goodness. What happened there? Can I go back? Ooh, I can do. Hold on. Look. Oh. Okay. There's going to be changes in the animal kingdom. Isaiah chapter 11 tells us. Well, let me read that one for you, if I can find it quickly. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The animal kingdom is going to be changed. I mean, you can't go out in the woods now. Coyotes will get you. You know that lately on the news? You know? coyotes are going to calm down. The cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like an ox. The suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp. A weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The animal kingdom is going to calm down. I was reading one passage there. He said, you'll be able to go into the woods and sleep in safety. You try that tonight. Quote, sleep somewhere in the woods. There's going to be peace all over the earth. These are the things that are going to take place. The animals' appetites will be changed. We just went down through that. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the bullock. The dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. There's going to be change in human realm. Health and longevity will be restored. When God created man on the earth, God created us to live forever. I mean, you know, He created our bodies to live forever. Adam sinned, you know the story, Adam sinned. Adam lived 930 years. Methuselah lived 969 years. But after the flood, after Noah was 600 years old the day he went into the flood, went into the ark, the Bible says, after the flood, their lifespan came down quickly to 120 years. Joseph, well, Abraham died, the Bible says 175 years old, and he was an old man, 175. Joseph died at 110, an old man. When David died, I think he was 75, an old man. And you know the story, our days of our lives will be 80 years. If by reason of strength we got 80 years or whatever, he said there's going to be sorrow, there's going to be problems, there's going to be joint pains and all these different things. You know, there's going to be trouble. We're living in a land that's cursed. You understand that? Yeah. But when he sits up his kingdom, health is going to be restored again. The Bible says the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. That's Jesus. Longevity is going to be restored. He said a child, now this is in the millennial period, not in the eternal reign. In the eternal reign, no one dies because death is destroyed by the time we get to the eternal reign. But at the end of the 1,000-year period, it destroys death forever, and then no one dies after that. But up to that point, he said a child would die at 100 years old. Somebody dies at 100 years old, I said, man, that's shocking, that little child died. That's awful. You know? And he said, the sinner is 100 years old. He said, will be accursed. So he's not talking about the eternal reign because there's no sinners in the eternal reign. He's talking about the millennial reign. Okay, there's people there that are still going to be rebelling against God. So anyway, we see these things all being restored back again. We've got all these things taking place. And this is a scripture we read earlier. Well, let's read it. He said, for behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I created. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. God says, Jerusalem, all what the Jewish people have suffered through the generations, he said, that's going to be gone forever. That's going to be gone forever. And there shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old. That's what we're just talking about. A child shall die 100 years old. But the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. So again, he's talking about the millennial reign here. He's not talking about the eternal reign. He's talking about the millennial reign. In the eternal reign, there's no one there to sinners. There's no death in the eternal reign. This is in the 1,000-year period. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and shall eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. This is what the Jewish people have done for years. They've, you know, build their thing and then a nation will come in and overtake them. He said, from now on, God says, when they do something, he said, I'm going to bless it. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. I've heard people quote that sometimes when they're, you know, when they're praying, and there's nothing wrong with that to a certain extent. But you got to realize he's talking about the millennial period when that thing is set up. Before you call, I will answer. That's in the millennial reign. He said, while they're yet speaking, he said, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the bullock. The dust shall be the serpent's meat, and they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. So here we have the change in the political realm, in the geographic realm, in the economic realm, the spiritual realm, ecological realm, the animal realm, and the human realm. There's going to be a whole new world is coming. There's a change that's coming. One thing is certain, change is always, you know, everything is always changing. But this change is going to be the best change that the world's ever had when Jesus sets up his kingdom. And all the chaos and the turmoil and everything else that's been on the planet for decades, centuries, millenniums, is going to be dealt with. Jesus sets up his kingdom. And he's going to rule, the Bible says, with a rod of iron. And remember, at the end of the 1,000-year period, Satan is loosed from the bottomless pit. And he comes up, and all those, remember we just read about the sinner that's 100 years old and be accursed and all these. There's going to be sinners there at that time that still are going to rebel against God. At the end of 1,000 years, when Satan is loosed, the Bible says he's loosed for a season. He gathers all the nations together again. Man, you know, humans are going to try to overthrow God again and try to set up their kingdom again, I should say, and overthrow God. And this is where the Bible says fire will come down from heaven, consume them. Then Satan is cast into the lake of fire. Death and hell is cast into the lake of fire. Everything is dealt with. And then the Bible says he sets up a new heaven, new earth. He said, wherein dwells righteousness. Now, that's the eternal reign. Just a few thoughts here. What happens once the dust is all settled? What happens? The Bible says, then comes the end. When he, this is Jesus, shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. When Jesus, remember we read back there in Daniel, where the Father gave him the kingdom? Now he offers it back to the Father again. He said, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign until he puts all of his enemies, that's a 1,000-year period. In that 1,000-year period, he's putting all of his enemies under his feet. So he said, he shall put down all rule, all authority, all power, for he must reign till he's put all of his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. When you're in the millennial reign and you see him dealing with death, you know, this is it. It's over. Now let's talk with God the Father, has put all things under his feet, under Jesus' feet. But when he says that he put all things under him, it is manifest that he has accepted, which did put all things under him. In other words, he's saying, when God put all things under Jesus' feet, it's manifest that he never put himself under Jesus' feet. He said, which did put all things under him. It is manifest that he has accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. The Bible says every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. It's a long series, I know, but a lot of things, and obviously a lot of things we still don't understand. We just scratched the surface. But I thank God that he's got everything under control. And sometimes we read things like this and you say, well, that's not the way I saw it before. Never ever saw it that way. That's one thing about God. He's not bound by our doctrines. I don't think God gives 2 cents for what I think. You know? We had a fellow in Newfoundland one time. He says, it's amazing to me. He said, but God would do whatever to ask my permission. God can do whatever he wants to. And just because, you know, we see something one way for whatever, you know, and all of a sudden God gives us some other in insight into it, let's believe what his word says. Anyway, this is our series come to an end. And, you know, from when we started out talking about the signs that Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 24, around now through all the different things that are taking place in the world today, religions that are rising up, and all the hatred that's for Christians today. You look at the world today. I mean, the world's looking for a way to get rid of the church. Seriously, they're looking for a way to get rid of the church. Because, you see, it's the same thing as when we were growing up, and now this might be a stupid example, but it just crossed my mind. When we were growing up, and we wanted to do something that we knew wasn't right, we wish mom and dad weren't home. Isn't that right? We're still like that. You know, that's just part of growing up, and it'll be like that until Jesus comes back. Every generation goes through the same thing. We just wish that, you know, and the world wants to do stuff, but the church is always there bringing the light on the darkness. The church is always there pointing them back and saying, boys, you can't do that stuff. You know, God says this, and you know, and in governments and everything else, they fight against God. And then yesterday, I was reading on the internet, and I think it took place, was it yesterday, Martin Luther King thing? And they went to the National Mall in Washington, D.C., and they held a rally calling America back to God. You know, and you think the nation, the politicians, everything would say, yes, you know, we need to do that. But they fought against that, and they criticized, oh, you should have done this. It's all politics. You've done it where Martin Luther King said it a few years ago. And you know, they wish the church would just shut up. They would. When Obama came in, he canceled the National Day of Prayer. I don't know if it was Bush or Reagan that set up the National Day of Prayer. And he canceled it. I mean, you got the internet, just go to Islam on Capitol Hill. That's the name of the .com. Islam on Capitol Hill.com. He canceled the National Day of Prayer. Now, he won't tell you that on that site. But he canceled the National Day of Prayer. He didn't want Christians to come up to Capitol Hill because they would come up and they would fill the lawn in front of the White House and pray and ask God's blessing on the nation and everything else. And he canceled it because he didn't want to offend other religions. But on the same day, thousands upon thousands of Muslims, you see them, all knelt down with their face on the lawn of the White House. Christians weren't allowed to come, but there's Muslims. The entire lawn was filled with Muslim people praying on that day. And the media wasn't allowed to broadcast it. Do you think we're living in a society that's being manipulated and dictators and everything else and friendly dictators? I don't know if that's a good term or not, but, you know. The world hates the church. Jesus said, they hate me. He said, don't be surprised, they're going to hate you too. He said, you're no greater than your master. If they hated me, he said, they'll hate you too. You know? So we got to be prepared for these things. And as we see that day approaching, this is what the Bible tells us. You know, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, and so much more as you see that day approaching. Encourage one another to get out to God's house, to be part of a fellowship. Oh, I don't like going because I don't like the music. Oh, man. You know, there's so much to be concerned about, and people get upset about stupid, insignificant, nothing. It's probably rough words, but it's true. You know, you're either serving God from your heart, or you're not serving him at all. If you're only serving him when things are going good, and you're only serving him when sounds good, and this, you know, there's no problems, you've missed the whole point of what this is about. You're serving God through thick and thin. That's what God wants. Somebody's going to serve him no matter what the outcome is, no matter how things work out. You go through rough times, you go through good times, you go through bad times, easy times, hard times. You just stay constant. Keep your eyes upon the Lord. That's what it's all about. And as we see that day approaching, let's not lose sight. And let's not get slack in our walk with the Lord. But let's be determined more than ever before that we're going to stick this true. Because, man, we've stuck it all this time. And now we're coming down to the end of it. Don't give up now. You know what I mean? We've come too far to give up now. You know? And God never brought us this far just to let us go and forget about us. And I believe, I remember years ago I heard a fellow preaching. And you probably heard the same kind of a story. But he said, No, was in the book Angels on Assignment. Remember I had a book there a few years ago? Angels on Assignment. Pastor Roland Buck, he's dead and gone home to be with the Lord now, but he was Assemblies of God pastor down in the States in Boise, Idaho. And he had visitations from Gabriel and different angels. And I don't know if he asked the angel or how exactly it happened. But he said, the angel said to him, he said, all we know, he said, when Jesus came to the earth the first time as a baby, he said, there was excitement in heaven. He said, things are getting ready. He said, we didn't understand everything that was happening. He said, we just knew that God was going to do something. He said, when Jesus is coming to the earth. And he said, we got the same excitement in heaven again. He said, something is about to happen. That was a few years ago. God is wrapping this thing up, getting everything. See, we look at it from down here. We're only seeing, you ever look at the news sometimes and you know the real story that happened? And you look at the news and it says, man, that's not how it happened at all. You know? And the news media will tell you what they want you to hear. But you know, behind the scenes, there's a totally different story. Well, see, we're down here. We're just looking at what's going on. We hear Russia say this. We hear America say this. We hear Canada's doing this. And Israel's doing this. And we try to put it all together because we got some scripture to go by, and we try to put it all together. But God is up in heaven. He's sitting all the stage, and this player is getting in place, and this player is getting in place, and behind the scenes, all the getting ready for the screen to pop up and the play to start, and all the stage is being set, and Jesus is about to step back and come back to the earth. And I don't know, you know, maybe it's just we're going through this series, but lately I've been thinking about that so much that, man, I don't want to miss that for anything. This is, you know, people say, oh, I wish I lived when Jesus was on the earth. I think we all would at times, you know, like be able to see some of these things. But I tell you, he's coming back again. We're going to live when he's on the earth. You know, and not just for a 3 or 4 year period or a 30 year period or whatever the case might be. We're going to live with him forever. You know, and this thing is about to wrap up. And we just got to keep our eyes upon the Lord and stay faithful to him. And Jesus, when he comes back, will he find faith on the earth? We need to keep our eyes upon him. He said, in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man will come. Praise God.
One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. The word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, and buried he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they die on a tree, suffering anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. The hands that heal nations stretched out on a tree and took the nails for me. Cause living he loved me, dying he saved. Buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day.
One day from Death could not hold him. The grave could not keep him from rising again. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. Oh, glorious day. Far away, rising, he just.